Our study tonight is out of Zechariah chapter 8, verses 1 through 23, God's turning Israel's fasts into feasts. Zechariah, along with Haggai, called the returning Hebrews back to rebuilding the temple, and it gave God's directives and future hope. In Zechariah 7, 1 to 14, God had given a negative reply to the question on whether Israel should continue to observe the self-imposed fast that commemorated the burning of the first temple. God's negative answer had recalled Israel's sins that had led to the destruction of the nation for which that fast and other fasts had actually been instituted. However, Zechariah 8, 1-23 provides the positive part of God's reply, where he predicted how he would turn Israel's fasts into feasts. So we view the passage for our insight. I want to take the time to read the chapter, all 23 verses of the unit. Sticks together here. Zechariah chapter 8, 1-23. Again the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great heat, literally. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, There shall yet be old men and old women dwelling in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for the elderly. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, If it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it not also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, or any hire for animal. Neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one against his neighbor. But now I will not be under the residue of this people as in former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, the ground shall give her increase, the heaven shall give her dew, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. It shall come to pass that as you were a curse among the Gentiles, O house of Judah, O house of Israel, so I will save you. You will be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, As I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. So again I've thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor, and love no false oath, for all these things are things that I hate, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, The fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth month, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the garment of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Marvelous chapter. The positive part of his reply to the fast question starts with God's strong avowal of his love for Israel. You notice how he translated it, I love you with great fury. It's actually with great heat. The intensity of God's love is actually, it becomes so intense it gets hot. Doesn't mean that he's angry at all. Okay, in line with that love, God predicted his future restoration of Israel in the millennial kingdom. The Lord said that he would return to Zion and permanently settle down, Shachan, That's the word for settle down, like you're going to settle down and dwell in it permanently as if it were your home. Settle down in Jerusalem. It'll be called the city of truth in God's mountain, being called the holy mountain. As the result, elderly men and women would dwell in the city streets, each with his staff in his hand for great age, and the streets would be full of boys and girls playing in them. When I read that, boys and girls playing in them, I was thinking about our parking lot during VBS, with the kids out there playing around, and you can hear them yelling and stuff. It's a great time, and elderly people especially love that. God added that if such a future seemed to be marvelous in the eyes of the people of Israel in Zechariah's time, it would be certainly marvelous in the eyes of God. And of course, you have children playing in the streets, and you have elderly people in the streets, there's peace. Because in wartime, that wouldn't be. The children would be out of the streets, they'd be hiding, the elderly would be hiding. But vulnerable people like children and very elderly people out in the streets of the city, that means there's peace and there's security. Well, God promised to regather his people literally from the land of the rising of the sun, Me'eretz Mitra, and from the land of the going down of the sun, Me'eretz Mebho Hashamish, which is the sun. So it's not just from the east and the west, because you can't go west and you can't go east by land in Israel. But from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, that's a reference to the whole world. That's what he's talking about. So this terminology refers to the entire earth. Regathered Israel will dwell in Jerusalem from all over the world, being God's people and he being their God in truth and in righteousness. Incidentally, this argues for the millennial kingdom yet to be coming in the future, because in Zechariah's day, I don't know if the Jews had scattered that way, but you've got a lot of Jews like down in Buenos Aires, Uruguay, Paraguay, all over the place. And they're going to come from all over the world. Well, regathered Israel will dwell in Jerusalem, being God's people, and he being their God in truth and in righteousness. The Lord then addressed Zechariah's generation to encourage them in their walk with him. God called Zechariah's generation in Israel to let their hands be strong in their calling by the prophets of the Lord to continue with the temple reconstruction work. You notice how that keeps coming up. Well, that's the big issue. God wanted them to stay at the temple work, because the temple has to be built so the Messiah can come to his temple in fulfillment of Scripture. God said that he had caused a severe economic depression and a lack of peace in the society for the way the people had focused on selfish gain versus rebuilding the temple. It's interesting, in our country today, we've also had economic issues, and we also have in society often a lack of peace. There are shootings that are going on all the time and unrest. And if it's for the same reason, it would make sense, because we've had a problem with materialism in our country for a long time. So God may be allowing that to occur because of our own sin in that same area. However, since they had returned to do the temple work, God would bless them, as in the former days, with the blessing of peace, agricultural bounty, and of being a blessing and not a curse. Zechariah's generation was to let their hands be strong. Notice the emphasis on that again, to do the temple work. For as the Lord had thought to treat their forefathers with calamity when they provoked him to anger, he thought to do good to Jerusalem and Judah in their day, so they were not to be afraid. I take it here the fear is being afraid of a lack of blessing from the Lord. God says, no, you've gotten back to the work. I'm not going to discipline you anymore. I'm going to be blessing you from now on. For these blessings from God to be realized in their lives, however, the people were to speak the truth to each other. They were to execute verdicts of truth and peace in their courts. Their courts were held in the gates of the city. So that's why it refers to the speak truth and peace in your gates. And to let no one devise calamity against his neighbor, and to love no false misleading oath, for God had hated those things. You'll notice how these commands, speaking truth to one another, they all have to do with how we treat one another. Speak truth to one another, execute verdicts of truth and peace, let no one devise calamity against his neighbor, and don't give a false or misleading oath. God is very concerned to how people treat one another. That's very, very important. Well, in Zechariah 8:18-23, the Lord finally address the question of the fast, actually it's fasts, plural, with a very positive message, because until now there have just been a couple of fasts that have been mentioned, but they were celebrating, I think it's four fasts during the year. So God said that the fast of the fourth month, which was for the opening of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar, the fast of the fifth month for the burning of the temple, that's the one they first asked about, the fast of the seventh month, that was for Governor Gedaliah's assassination, and the fast of the tenth month, that hadn't been named before, and that's celebrated, not celebrated, but commemorated the start of Nebuchadnezzar's siege, they would all be replaced by joyful feasts. Were they to love truth and peace? It's a wonderful thing. God is such a gracious God. Here, even in the Old Testament, they had been fasting, fasting, fasting because God had withdrawn his blessing. God says, the day's going to come when all those fasts are going to be turned into feasts. You're going to be celebrating, feasting, feasting, feasting. In fact, the millennial kingdom is going to be something like a great big long feast. It's going to be a time of tremendous joy. So the time would come when many people would come to pray before the Lord in Jerusalem. 10 Gentiles would grasp the clothing of a Jew and go with him, stating that they had heard that God was with him and that they wanted to accompany him to enjoy God's blessing with him. Notice how that's very opposite anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism, people look down on the Jew. The day is going to come, it's going to be the opposite. They're going to be grabbing the Jew's cloak or the garment that he has and say, we're going to go with you because we heard that God's with you. We want to be with God. So you're going to have all that. There's going to be a tremendous turnaround of the attitude towards the Jew. So the lesson is Israel's self-imposed fasts over the fall of their nation would be replaced by feasts in the kingdom, since the fasts had come due to God's judgment of sin. And when Israel was righteous, she would be blessed. Accordingly, the people of Israel in Zechariah's era were to live righteously for God's blessing in their time. So may we stay occupied with God's ministry assignments and be considerate of others for God's blessing. It's interesting how many times in this prophecy book, and also the book of Haggai, God wanted to stay at your work, stay at your work, don't quit your work. But faithfulness is very, very important in ministry. It's very important to the Lord. And also we need to be considerate of other people for God's blessing. If we suffer financial hardships and or lack peace in our relationships, may we check to discern if we have strayed from our ministry assignment, and if so, repent as needed. And then may we long for Christ's coming kingdom. The people at Zechariah's time didn't know how far off the kingdom was. It's still yet to come, even in our day. But they were looking forward to it. According to the Jewish timetable, when they got back from the land of Babylon, they were going to build the temple, build the city of Jerusalem. And that's in the 69th week of the book of Daniel. In the 70th week, the prophetic week, then you're going to have the Messiah. And the Messiah would come, but he wouldn't have anything. But then you would have the kingdom very shortly after that. So they were expecting the kingdom. And God wanted them constantly to look forward to the kingdom. That's what God wants us today to do today. There's a kingdom coming, and we're going to be participating in it. We're going to be taken up in the rapture, but we're coming back with Christ as he sets up his kingdom on the earth. We'll be ruling with him, reigning with him, which is going to be a wonderful time. But what God wants us to do, meanwhile, is stay at the ministry that we have today. The ministry that you have today as a believer is very, very important in view of eternity. It's very important. So never look down on your ministry. Don't let anybody else look down on your ministry and make you feel smaller or unimportant. That's not true. There is no such thing as an unimportant saint. All of the saints have a very important role. And if we all do our job together, there is great blessing and there's going to be great reward in eternity. So God help us to look forward to Christ's kingdom and stay active and always abounding, like Paul says, in the work of the Lord, knowing that your ministry is not in vain in him.